For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing, Case File 352. I'm Braden.
I'm Dan.
Hey, listen, we got a special episode today. We got an interview today. If you want to go on Amazon Prime, check out an awesome documentary called Calling All Hybrids. We got the star of the show on today, Skits the Hybrid. Here he is, the man, the myth, the legend himself. How's it going, Skits?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. I'm super pumped to talk to you guys. I'm so in right now. I'm hyped.
So a little listen for all our Canadian listeners, it's not quite yet available on Amazon Prime Canada. So you might, you're going to have to sit on your hands and wait for it to come out. But if you're listening in America and pretty much anywhere else, and this has nothing to do with anything other than just happenstance. All right. Skits, what's going on? How'd you get involved in this documentary first off? Because we've had some ideas. We've wanted to make, we was thinking, you know, like paranormal contractors. We go in, we renovate haunted houses. We can't get it made. You're in your own documentary. How did that happen?
That sounds amazing. First of all, let's copyright.
It's copyrighted. Hey,
listen, I want it. That's all I got to say. That sounds amazing. Yeah. That's a great idea. All right, but yeah, that's a great question. So I believe in a little thing called manifestation, right? So during the COVID time, me and my wife kind of wanted to change from Florida. And we was like, you know what? If we could go anywhere, where would we go? At the time, we was really into Gaia and like everything that they were showing on the channels. And Gaia is kind of like, for those that don't know, it's like YouTube for everything UFO and metaphysical, whatever. So we used to just kind of like watch all the videos on there, and we figure out where their main base was located, which was in Denver and Boulder in Colorado. And we was like, you know what? We don't know anybody out there, but if we want to be around that kind of energy, let's get as close as we can to this company, right? So we moved about 15, 20 minutes away, just out of happenstance. They had a position available for my wife to work in the executive cafe that they have inside the facility. She worked there for about 6 to 7 months. Throughout her time working there, she got to meet pretty much everybody that, you know, does ufology, comes in to do all the interviews and stuff. And one day she told me, well, this is how it happened, that one of the producers was just walking in, kind of talking to somebody about a project that he wanted to put together. But it was supposed to be a bunch of experiencers kind of telling their story and him kind of unpacking all those stories. And my wife overheard, and she was like, listen, my husband's a lifetime experiencer. He's been validated by MUFON. Maybe you should look it up. He was a MUFON investigator. His name is Josh Golombeski. And he checked out my story, was super intrigued. Within 2 or 3 days, he was in my house. I got to talking to him, telling him my stories firsthand. He was able to, you know, he was able to confirm that what I was saying was accurate to the MUFON investigation. He thought that my story was so inspiring, he decided to make the documentary about me. So I guess it's just a chain of events that just happened to lead to me getting the documentary. But it's not like I tried in any way, shape, or form. It kind of landed on my lap.
Well, it's funny because I always, I'm a self-proclaimed UFO expert on spotting them. I've watched so many videos, and we always tell our audience, like, hey, listen, if you're seeing something, you got to report it, put it on MUFON. You got to do that, you know, cause if you don't, you know, it's one of those things like no one does. So do it. You never know. Maybe you're in a documentary from it, right? You don't know how this stuff ends up, but you got to do that stuff. So what got you talking with MUFON in the first place? Like what brought that on?
Another great question that I'm not asked often, so I appreciate that question. So, all right, I was watching the documentary, and I don't know the name of this doc. I was just, like, I got into, like, this time, this period in my life when all this was happening to me. I kind of just needed to investigate what was happening to me. I couldn't just keep going with what my parents was telling me. It's demonic, it's this and that. So I kind of needed to find out for myself. Started looking up everything, reading everything I could kind of digest when it came to this material. Came across a documentary, and it was like every single person in this documentary that they were talking about was literally taking a story out of my life and putting it on camera, to the point where at the end of the documentary, I was just in tears because finally somebody else is going through what I was going through. At this time, I thought I was the only one, or maybe it happens to everybody and everybody doesn't talk about it. That's kind of the limbo I was in. So there was this one psychiatrist in this documentary, and the first thing that came to my mind was, I've been kind of told my whole life that this can't be happening to me. It's demonic, it's this and that. The first thing I wanted to do was make sure that I wasn't crazy. Like, is this actually happening? Excuse me. Excuse me. So that was the first thing I literally wanted to find out. I ended up Googling this doc, this psychiatrist. I found a number thinking that I was just going to call this person and it was just going to be an answering machine. I leave a message. Maybe I get an email or a phone call back in a week. I called the number. The person in the documentary I was just watching ended up picking up the actual phone. I got super flustered, didn't know what to say, was kind of like fumbling my words because I really wasn't expecting to get that person on the phone. He told me to take a deep breath and just start from the beginning. So I did that. I took a deep breath and I just started literally throwing up my whole everything that's happened to me as far as what I believed was crazy. I guess some of the things that I was saying to this person, he was able to identify that these things can't be found on YouTube. You can't read them in books. Only experiencers say certain things that really made him go, you know what? I believe that you're actually going through the experiences that you're talking about. Let me pass you off to this other person that I really admire in the field of ufology. Her name was Miss Denise Stoner. Literally thought once again I was going to get a phone call in a week, maybe an email in a week from this lady. Hung up the phone. Within 2 hours, I get an email. Hello, my name is Miss Denise Stoner, a person I truly respect. So gave me the information. He told me a little bit about your story. I'm super intrigued. Can I call you? Started talking to her. Told her everything I was doing. At the time, I was so scared because I was being taken in all places of my house that I would hide knives everywhere. I would put a knife underneath my couch. So if I got taken in the living room, I could get to the knife. I would put a knife in my kitchen, like where the medicine cabinet is. And I told this to that lady thinking that she was like, oh, yeah, he's prepared. And she was like, honey, that's not going to work with these beings. What I would do is hide flashlights because the little grays hate it when you shine lights in their eyes. This was the first time.
I mean, we could argue that the knives do work because what's that? The one guy claimed he was chopping them up with samurai sword on Stardust Ranch. Right? There's an experiencer who's like, he was like this old, yeah,
literally
old
hillbilly. Samurai sword.
Yeah, yeah. Hillbilly samurai. Crazy. And he was
maybe
just
was,
like,
oh, maybe it was a type of knife you're using. If you had a legit katana, then maybe.
The way she explained it to me was they're telepathic. So the minute I get the thought of reaching for the knife, they're just going to know anyway and not be in the way of the knife regardless. So it's almost like one of those.
That makes sense. That makes sense because this guy from Stardust Ranch, I don't think he had many thoughts that entered his head. He was all action.
Yeah, right? He kept it at a blank. I think he talked about keeping like just a blank slate and just
How he got through. That might be. I wasn't doing that. I was like, I gotta reach this damn knife and get to these beings, right? So that was the first time that anybody's actually validated me. Like she was like, instead of saying it wasn't happening or it was a bad dream, she was giving me tools to deal with these beings.
And Denise Stoner, is this the Denise Stoner? She was on like Coast to Coast. She's like the assistant director. Denise Stoner.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Like, so the high level, like big.
I've been validated by many high level okay. people in the field.
Yeah. She was the head of the abduction studies at one point.
Yes. She's interviewed over 1,000, like 1,000, experiencers. She's called my specific story, like top 10 in her book. So we got to talking, and within a week, she was like, you know what? I need to physically meet you. Like, I want to come to your house. I want to talk to you personally. So Miss Denise Stoner and Terry Lynch, which was the head MUFON director for Florida at the time, they both came to my house. And literally, I thought it was going to be like, unfortunately, because my whole life I was told that, you know, all this was either, you know, something else. You know, I automatically thought that they were going to like, you're being abducted by aliens. And if you pay us $2,000, we can make sure it doesn't happen again. So I was really like, okay, what's happening? They're coming to my house. I was kind of weirded out about it.
Yeah.
But they did come. I was super open to the experience. I had to kind of go with the flow. I did a little bit of research on who this lady was. So I was like, okay, let's see what happens. When they came in, they asked me a ton of questions. One of the questions was, has anything happened in your family before? Now, this is when she was like, okay, and the hairs kind of stood up on her arm. I told her the story of what happened to my mother years ago. Like, my mother told me a long time ago when I was young, like 10, 11 years old. She was like, well, I've been taken as well. And I was like, but what happened? She told me in Spanish. And she said when she was a little girl, she was with my two uncles and they were like running around in a field in Puerto Rico. She was picking flowers and my two uncles were like playing manhunt or whatever they were doing. And she said while she was laying in the field picking flowers, she looked up at the sky and there was this silver disc that was doing a dance for her. She said it was dancing like a top. She kept on looking at it and focusing on it. She said all of a sudden she got tired and fell asleep. When she woke up, she was coming down from this light and she was spinning rapidly on the floor. When she came to, my two uncles ran up to her and said, oh my God, where have you been? We couldn't go back home without you. Mom would have killed us. It's been like 3.5 hours. And to my mother, she explains it like she just blinked, like she closed the eyes and opened it back up and she was coming down from the light. I expressed this to Miss Denise Stoner. She goes into her bag. She goes through her notes. And just a week ago, she spoke to a lady that was literally like two doors from where she lived, like two doors down. She spoke to a lady from Puerto Rico, around the same age as my mother, that had the same identical experience. There was a silver disc doing a dance for her. Then all of a sudden, she comes down from this light. She's spinning rapidly on the floor. When she heard my story and was able to like, whoa, wait a minute. I heard the same exact thing from a lady you never met before in your life. Yeah,
there's no way you have this information. And
no way I would know. Yeah. Another thing that was kind of interesting, I have this memory of kind of being shown what I believe. Damn, I got this itch on my head. Hold on. I'm sorry about that, guys.
Fucking scratching,
being
buddy.
Showed what I believe to be an honest, like simulation, a simulator of some sort. Like these beings were trying to like teach me how to fly a ship. And the way that they would teach me is they walked me into this room out of nowhere. There's like this screen that's in this cave. I mean, that's the best way I can explain it. It looked like a cave. I was escorted by two grays. The grays wasn't holding my hand or anything. They were like what you would consider typical grays. Big bulbous head, two large almond eyes, small slit where the nostril and nose are, and small mouth. Like the typical Paul kind of alien looking thing. And they walked me into this, like what looks to be a cave with this long metal, like just a sheet of metal with three symbols on it. It's the best way I can explain it. There's a screen in front of it. And I didn't know it was the screen. It just looked like a piece of glass and a chair. I sit down in the chair. They kind of gesture for me to put my hands over these symbols. And then all of a sudden, the symbols light up like the inside of a toaster. It's the best I can explain the color, that orange that you see from the coils in the toaster.
Yep.
They light up that way. And they're not buttons. It's like a flat sheet of metal. And they were like engraved these symbols into the metal. So it's not like a button I could press or anything I could slam. It's just a sheet of metal. I put my hand over it and I can feel motion. Like all of a sudden, I can feel like I'm lifting up. And on the screen that was just glass in front of me a minute ago, there's like clouds and blue sky. So I can tell that I'm kind of like in this simulator. The button in the middle is how you stop the machine. And the two buttons on the side is kind of like lift your hand up, you go right, lift your hand up, you go left. But I had this feeling like those buttons were more for me as a human, because whatever I was attached to was more of a telepathic connection. I would think about going right and go right. I would think about going left and go left. And the symbols and my hand motion was more for me as a human to feel like I had control over the ship. At least that's what I'm getting from it. I showed Miss Denise Stoner these symbols that I remember seeing on the ship, and she was able to pull out symbols identical from other people that she's investigated. So that was another aha moment for her, and another kind of like, okay, what you're talking about is kind of real. The icing on the cake is when I told her how they felt. So I remember touching the hand of a gray, because I was in like what I believe to be a hybridization program. This dude that I talked to is called Tim. He goes by Tim the German, I think. Tim Tactical on YouTube. He's like the ambassador for the Grays in Germany. And he was the one that expressed
to me. Branding reasons? Well, he should go by Tim Tack. He should go Tim Tack. Like for now, like now, like that would be. Right? Like that. Fuck Brandy, where he wants to hit those algorithms.
I think he's killing it right now. But this dude is like legitimately the ambassador to the Grays to talk to like the secret projects for the German government. He expressed to me that I was what he calls the school for the Grays. Kind of makes sense when I tell you that story. But when I told this to Miss Denise Stoner, like I've held their hands before and they feel exactly like, the best way to explain it is dolphin skin without being wet. Like it's, if you ever been to like a water park that had, like you could pet a stingray or pet a dolphin and you get that feeling of like, it feels like a wetsuit almost, like it feels rubbery and kind of smooth. That's exactly what these beings feel like without the water or the jelliness. Just straight up, they just feel like dolphin skin. That's the best way I can explain it.
So yeah. Just jump in here. So when you were experiencing, at least in this case that you have, when you're experiencing, are they physically manifesting you into like a space? Are they pulling you into a space, or is this more like another great question.
I've had contact two ways. So I've had contact telepathically, and I've had contact with these beings in physical form. So what I was talking to her was like physically touching the hand of a gray in this reality 3D, right? And I told her that it felt like dolphin skin. And she was like, okay, that's it. That's 100% what all experiences say when they touch these beings. That's exactly what they feel like, that kind of skin. So to answer your question, how did they take me out of physical space into their space, right? So it's a pretty cool thing. Excuse me. I got a little bit of a cough, so I'm coughing. I'm a little under the weather. But so I remember this one time when I was passed through a wall, right? And I like to explain this to people because a lot of people kind of assume they kind of project this beam of light onto the wall and then the wall deteriorates and all of a sudden you can see outside and then you just float through the wall, right? That's what people assume. It's nothing like that. It's crazier. It's almost like the best way I can explain it is if you have seen the movie Ghost, when Patrick Swayze actually goes through the door for the first time, that's almost identical to how it feels or looks. So I remember waking up, I was in like this paralyzed state to where I wasn't in control of my body. And I just floated out of bed, like legitimately just floated straight up out of bed, completely stiff, but awake. And the one thing I can know and realize is that the whole room, the color was different. Like the reds were not as red. They were more dyed down in burgundy. The whites were not as white. They were dull grays. Like it was like I shifted out of a dimension while still being in a dimension. It's like they have a way to kind of like push me to like a different dimension in the same space. I don't know how to explain it. But I kind of knew that was the case because of how everything looked. It's almost like you go from color to black and white, but it's still a little bit of color. It's just really dull. Like the contrast was really low. And I just remember looking at the wall and I'm just slowly floating towards this wall. And I get this thought like, oh, my God, these beings probably don't know there's a wall there. And they think it's a window and they're going to break my legs or hurt me. I'm going to hit this wall. My feet literally just go through the wall and I can feel like a tingly sensation towards my feet and then heat. And then I literally can feel the outside of my house. Like I can feel the wind and the coldness of the outside. My knees go through, my hip goes through. I get this feeling like I'm going to be cut in half, but I'm still going through. There's nothing happening to the wall. The wall is still there. It's just I'm going through it. It's almost like I'm dematerialized or the wall is dematerialized, but there's no form to see it. It's just my body almost is a part of the wall at this time. Now my stomach is going through it.
Even that, what you're saying is really interesting because like there's like – it makes me think of like the Philadelphia experiment where they were fucking, they kind of, you know, people think that they've figured out how to reverse engineer some of this tech and they're trying it on ships. And what happened to all the sailors is they said that some of them like fused to parts of the ship and it was like they
100%.
Right. And so maybe that's
100%.
That's where my brain goes.
100%. So it gets to my neck and I feel like, holy shit.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Excuse my language. I don't know if I could curse. My
body. Oh, okay. Fucking A.
So it gets to my neck and I'm like, oh my God, I feel like my head is going to pop off. And legitimately, the minute it gets to my mouth, I can taste the plaster. I can taste the wood. I can taste the concrete in the wall. As my nose passes through the wall, I can smell the plaster. I can smell wood that the house was built out of. I can smell the concrete. As my eyes pass through it, I'm physically seeing cracks in wood. Then I'm seeing like dust particles. Then it's like I'm not being turned off to any of it, but I'm still going through it. And then all of a sudden, my whole body's outside, still floating. But there's this tree in the side of my house where this light is kind of like tunneling up to where this UFO is. So instantly I get this idea, oh my God, these branches are going to go through my body right now. Like the tree's still there. I can see the tree. I'm going up. This time I'm going head first. So it's like they have me outside kind of slanted horizontal. Then they kind of lean me head straight, like I'm going straight up head first. And as I'm looking, because I'm looking at the tree, I'm not looking away from the tree. I can see branches coming up, and sure enough, they're passing through my head, coming through my nose. I can smell the bark. As they pass through my mouth and chin, I can taste the branches. And then all of a sudden, I'm on a ship. I don't remember how I go from the light to, like, the table. It's never like a full linear moment where I can remember. It's always like I blink, and now I'm in a location. I blink again and I'm in a hallway walking with these beings. I blink and I'm in an auditorium and they're doing, like, I'll tell you the hybridization. So I was living in this house in Florida, in Oviedo, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's like literally I blink and I'm standing in my driveway with my son, my oldest son. At the time, it's like 6 or 7. Right now, he's like 15. So at the time, he was 6 or 7 when this happened. I'm like in this driveway and I'm holding my son's hand and in the sky is the biggest UFO at the time that I have ever seen in my life. And I'm talking about it's blocking out half of the sky of my visual. Like I cannot see half of the night sky. It's just a big UFO. The first thought I get in my mind is, oh my God, how come nobody's seeing this from miles away? Like this thing is so massive that you could be on the highway and just see this massive ship floating over my house. Like, there's no way you can't see this massive. It's football fields long. It's so big.
Yeah.
It looked gunmetal black. It was like completely flat metallic black. It had no rivets, no seams. The only thing it had was like little cracks and like little kind of like horizontal lines that had light coming out of it. But other than that, it was like completely silent, soft hum, like just a soft hum, vibrating kind of a heartbeat of a hum. And there was like this mist that was coming off of the UFO. And it was like electrified velvet, kind of a purpley, shiny, kind of sparkly smoke. To me, it was like whatever propulsion or energies they have. It's like I blink and now I'm walking down this long hallway with my son. And it's like a long white hallway. It feels like it goes on forever. I see some motion in the distance. Maybe it could be some humans. Maybe it's some humanoids. But I just see movement in the distance. I'm walking towards that movement. But it's so long of a hallway, I feel like I'll never get there. It's so clean of a hallway. I've never seen anything so clean like this before. I felt like I can eat off the walls, off the floor. There was no dirt, no smudges, no nothing. No light bulbs, no light fixtures, no light switches, no doorknobs. Nothing that makes it look like anywhere I can be and maneuver around. It's just long white hallway. To the left of me is this 8.5 to 9 foot tall being. It looks exactly like a gray, but the head is smaller. So the smaller grays have bigger heads than the tall 9 foot grays. They have really small heads, at least from what I've seen. Very long neck, kind of like the equivalent of a giraffe. Like, not saying it's as long as a giraffe, but like, you see how we have necks three times longer than our necks compared. So it would look like a giraffe creature or whatever. And it had like a very frail body. I just remember the arms being super thin for the size. I was like, whoa, you're like super thin. I don't remember a shirt. Like, I was just like, if I swing, I could break bones. Like, it's literally nothing to hurt these beings, which makes me believe that's why they put you under this hypnotic trance. At the time, I should be under some kind of fear, right? Because this is crazy. Look, I'm perfectly fine. It's like I've known this guy forever, or this guy has me under this kind of control where he just took fear out of my brain, and that just doesn't exist.
Like it's some sort of anesthesia almost.
I'm like, under some kind of hypnotic. It feels hypnotic. Like if he told me bark like a chicken.
Like some kind of like, yeah, like an emotional suppression field.
Exactly. Or something, maybe I have an implant and they turn something on. I don't know how it works. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you. I'm not a scientist. I don't know how none of this shit works. All I know is that I'm not scared. This being is holding my hand and the fingers are like so long, man. I'm 6 foot one, 230. This being is like freaking taller than Shaq, like Shaq 8.5. Like, it's just, I'm not supposed to be standing to, it doesn't feel right to even be near something like this. Like, it feels too out of the world. Like, it just doesn't make sense. I'm holding my son's hand, and my son is holding the hand of an identical carbon copy of the same being. So we're being escorted down this hallway hand in hand. Then all of a sudden, on the right side of the hallway, there's a window. And it's just a framed black square with a glass. I can look through, and on the other side, it looks exactly like a daycare or like the lobby of a child's dentist office, a medical office. There's murals on the wall, toys in the corner.
It's got the beads that you push around.
Dude, yes. It's almost like they copied the movie version of what these rooms look like. I swear to you, it was like
what's going to bring comfort to you, I guess, right? Like what you're used to and what's going to bring comfort to you would make sense.
I really don't know if that was the case, but it was familiar. It was like out of this crazy place, all of a sudden is this child daycare. There's this circular rug and there's this rocking chair in the middle. My son gets escorted into this room. I'm left outside the hallway to look. Once again, not in fear that these beings are holding my son, not scared at all. My son is not scared. He's not pulling or crying. He's like walking perfectly fine, no problem. Like this is his uncle or something, like no fear. He's get walked into the room. He's told to sit down Indian style in the corner. There's this archway in the back. It's kind of like what should be where a door should be, but it's just an archway. And in comes these 3 to 4, what I call hybrid children. Same age as my son. They're wearing like hospital gowns, but the hospital gowns look like gauze. They're like stuck to their skin like gauze. Kind of has that gauzy texture where it's... The way I imagine it is like their hands go up and then just something slaps onto their body and it just takes the form of their body and that's their hospital gown. That's just the best way to explain it. These beings form a circle with my son. So my son is not in the middle. He's a part of the circle. And there's this like white feather or like ball type. There's like just this object floating in the middle and they're playing catch, but without touching it. It's like they're teaching my son how to move things with his mind, but in a fun way. Like, let's play catch, but let's not touch the thing. So they're throwing it to each other. Then all of a sudden, I'm being gestured to walk into the room. I walk around the corner, see the archway, walk in, and notice that now is a two-way mirror because now I can't see out into the hallway. I can only see my reflection. So now I know that in the hallway, I can see in, but from inside, I can't see out. So it was like an observation type thing I was involved in. I can see the reflection of myself. I'm being told to sit in the rocking chair. Now I can see the doorway, which is behind me. And this lady walks in. She's beautiful, fair-skinned lady, but she's definitely a hybrid. How do I know? The eyes are 2 to 3 times bigger than human eyes. The nose, 2 to 3 times smaller. Mouth, 2 to 3 times smaller. My assumption is they're more telepathic. They don't have a need for all that stuff, so they don't use it. So now she hands me a baby. This baby, I get the feeling like the baby's mine. This is my child. I'm connected to the child, or at least they want me to believe this is my child. So maybe it has my DNA in some sort. I look at the baby and it looks completely like it's on its last legs, like it's about to die, not doing too good. I can tell that it's a hybrid child because the eyes are like completely black. There's no white in the eyes. The eyes look a little sunken in. Once again, the nose is a little smaller. Mouth is a little smaller. Ears are a little smaller. He barely has any hair. They give me a bottle. I proceed to try to like feed the baby and it's not like having it. It just like barely wants to drink, like making little motions towards the bottle, but not that much. And I can see the tall being and the hybrid lady both looking at me like, do whatever it is you humans do to connect with the child and make it live. Like, kind of like bond with it. Like, maybe it's not alive because it's not bonding with the father. Like, put it to your chest or something. Like, you know, how will you do? And I get this feeling like, I don't think this is going to work. Like, it's I'm confused. Then it's like, once again, I blink. And I'm in the auditorium. I don't remember how I get there. I don't remember if I get given up the baby, walking out the room, none of that. It's just literally I blink and now I'm in the auditorium. Sitting next to me is this very big, obese lady, like maybe like 280, 320, like really fat. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but that's the truth. She was just really heavy, a really heavy lady.
Accurate description, it's fine.
Okay, dark-skinned lady. And she said she was from Brooklyn. So we just started conversation like normal, like a normal conversation. Like I knew this lady forever. She was like, yo, what's up? So where you from? I'm like, I'm from the Bronx. She was like, oh, I'm from Brooklyn. What's up? And we have this conversation about where we're from. I'm noticing that there's pockets of people in this stadium, auditorium, or whatever it looks like. The best way to explain this, like a college lecture hall. Like, have you ever seen the movie How High? That movie, like those college kind of like lecture halls or whatever. But the seats are not regular seats. The seats are like the back of the seat is stuck into the wall. And I'm sitting in like what seems to be a scoop. Like they don't have legs. Like the chairs don't have legs. I'm assuming I'm on something that's moving. And things that have legs have no function on things that on ships that move. They're like attached to everything. That's just my assumption. So I'm sitting in this scoop. I notice there's two people here. Like, I can't hear what they're saying. Three people here. There's a little archway, small table at the bottom of this little lecture hall thingy. And there's a small black cube on top of that table, like a little black box. In walks this being that looks so different from anything I've ever seen in my travels of dealing with these beings. Usually I just see hybrids or grays or really tall beings. But this being looked, the first time I've ever seen, like maybe like a jelly being or like a light being or something. The best way to explain it is like it had a head, shoulders, arms, legs, like it looked like us. But it didn't have no bones or no structure in that form. Like, it didn't have any bones or anything. Like, it was, like, moving. Like, it was way, it was more of, like, water inside of the skin suit or whatever. It looked also, like, sparkly and very, like, bright. Like, very golden bright. The head reminded me of, like, the flicker of a flame almost. And this being goes and gestures towards the box. Doesn't touch it, just kind of like waves his hand towards the box. All of a sudden, the top of the box opens up and the biggest, and this box is a small cube. Like if I can hold it in my hand, it would be the size of a stream deck. Very small box. Yeah. And out comes the biggest hologram I've ever seen. Like it's covering most of the room. Like this so big of the earth. The hologram was like 8K, 4K, HD. I've never seen something so high definite. It was like physical Earth in the room. Like I can touch it with my finger and affect things on actual Earth. It looks so real. And then this meteor comes in from the corner, slowly hits this version of the hologrammed Earth and the Earth explodes. Boom. And then I get this robotic kind of like thought in my head, like a telepathic connection thought that says, when this happens, you will all have a job to do. Sounded very robotic. When this happens, you will all have a job to do. Like very like Decepticon-y, Optimus Prime-y. And it's like I blink again and I'm in this field. And there's thousands of people in this field. The best way to explain it is like pictures of Woodstock. Like when you see the sea of people in that massive concert, that's how many people. And I'm like in the middle of all these people. So it makes me feel like I'm just a small piece of the puzzle. I'm not like Neo from The Matrix or anything. I'm just the corner piece of a puzzle, like whatever. Like I don't work without everybody in this field. You know, like my job doesn't fucking do anything without everybody attached in this field. I see this big meteor coming. It looks like Deep Impact. Like, if you've seen that movie before, it's like the biggest meteor in the sky is flaming, smoke coming from behind it. Everybody in the field puts their hand up, like, just like puts a palm up like that and points, and this meteor explodes. And it just looks like the end of Independence Day with a whole bunch of like fireworks or whatever. And then once again, I blink. And I'm back in my driveway. My son is sleeping on my shoulder. His legs are wrapped around my waist. And I see the massive UFO flying away. What I take from that experience is, I don't believe there's a meteor coming from Earth. Maybe it's literal. I take it more as a metaphor. Like the AI revolution is going to come in, famine, or whatever it is that the cataclysm is. It just chose to show it to me as a meteor. But whatever this thing that's going to affect Earth in a major way, I'm a small piece of this major puzzle. And if we all end up in that field together to stop whatever that thing is, we can affect change. So I just feel like it's more of a metaphor because a lot of people also ask me, do you think that's a prediction? Like a meteor is going to hit Earth and you have to be at it. I don't know. If the time comes, maybe I'm in the field with 1,000 people standing there doing that. But I honestly believe it's more of a metaphor, their way of kind of like expressing that we all have a job to do. So that's like my hybridization story, if there's any questions.
Two things I wanted to, like, one I wanted to mention is, like, when you say, like, you feel like you're a piece of a puzzle, it kind of resonates with me because I know someone I'm pretty close with. They don't want to talk about their experience and stuff. But they've told me once they knew I did this show and stuff, they're an architect. I'll say that. They're an architect. And they say that they get something from somewhere gives them schematics and they do not know what it means. And I've seen the drawings and it looks like pieces of a machine. And he goes, I don't know what this is that I'm drawing. He goes, I have no idea. He's like, I'm thinking it's some sort of propulsion, but he goes, I don't know because I don't deal with this stuff. I have no idea what I'm drawing, but I'm just so compelled to draw it. And something is telling me to draw it. And I feel like I need to connect with people who can make it. It's so weird.
Let me speak to that because that's the way I write my music. So I chose music as the path to be able to educate and tell people about my stories because in reality, they were eating me up alive. If I didn't find a way to do my mission here on this planet, it was going to just be me ending up not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, which is just like, why did I come here for, you know? So to speak to what he says, I meditate before I write any of my music, and I do honestly believe that a portion of my inspiration for these songs that I write or these beats that I produce come from, you know, other worldly or the ether or whatever you might say. So what I would say to your friend is, look how radios work. That's just the best way to explain it. So in your room right now, every station you could possibly believe you listen to, any genre of music is in your room right now, but you don't see it. It's not until you turn on the radio and change the dial that you get that sound, that frequency, that audio. So I think maybe your homeboy is a radio that's always on and the antenna is always up. And there's beings or entities, or maybe there's just schematics floating in the room above him at all times. Maybe they're floating above me at all times. They're floating above you. He's just one of those people that for some reason does not turn the dial. He's not turning the dial on his radio. And beings or people that are talking to him is like, well, he's not turning the dial. Give him all the blueprints right now. Just stuff it in his head.
And that makes sense because most of his drawings are like very similar. And it looks like the same thing. And he's just fascinated. And like, there'll be tweaks and stuff to the designs.
Just pursue it, man. Just tell him to pursue it. Just keep on. Just pull the thread until the sweat comes apart, man.
I press every now and then. The other question I had, so you talked about the hybridization program and seeing this, you know, this child and, you know, maybe being like, you know, is it supposed to be me? What, you know, the question is, and maybe it's a little personal, but it's like the one thing I'm always interested in, especially after listening, I don't know if you're familiar with the Antonio Villa-Boas case. So he's probably, people know him famously because he describes a sexual encounter with one of these hybrids. He says that like, he's like, hey, they covered me in sex jelly and this amazing looking hybrid came in here. And listen, I didn't have a choice in the matter, but he says it wasn't a bad thing. I didn't have a bad time. Do you have any like memories of anything like that, like sexually or anything, or like, could they have got your DNA? And if it's too personal, like, hey, it's all good.
No, I got no problem talking about anything I remember. Unfortunately, with me, I don't remember anything that cool. But,
I would
definitely be telling everybody about it. That's cool as hell. But I haven't been regressed either. So it's like, I think the memories I have are either the memories they chosen to allow me to have, or they messed up and this is just what I remember. A lot of my encounters tend to be, it's like I'm going through something for about 5-10 minutes and then I blink and then all of a sudden I'm going through something else for 5-10 minutes. It's like, it's never like I woke up out of bed. I saw the grays. The grays made me walk out of bed. I put on my sandals. I walked outside. I saw the ramp come down. I walked on to the gray. They sat me in a chair, told me to take off my clothes. Like none of that shit ever happens to me. It's like, dude, we're in your room. Blink, I'm on a ship. Oh my God. Blink, I'm in a chair. Like it's never a consistent walk.
And it's funny because that's pretty a lot of people with experiencers. I'm not an experiencer, but the only thing that I've ever had happen that's close to that is like I got a really bad concussion. I hit my head and it was like I walked through time. It was the weirdest thing. I was totally conscious. But my consciousness would only awaken like 25-30 minutes down the road. I would be like, you know, I would be someplace and then I would be all of a sudden I'm like in the hospital. I'd be like, this is weird. I don't remember coming to the hospital, but now I'm in the hospital and I'm totally coherent and people are talking to me and I'm going like, I'm a little confused.
You were there the whole time.
And then I blink and then it's like, I'm sitting at my house and I'm like, this is strange because I don't remember coming here. And there's no like in between. It's almost like, and I wonder if that's the experience for you. It's almost like you lose, like when you're driving and you have that driving amnesia.
I was
like,
just about to say it, dude, the hairs just went up. It's exactly like remote driving. Like when you've done the same route so many times and then you don't notice that you're almost there. You felt like you just left. Exactly like that. Almost like the movie Click, when he just kept on fast forwarding, but his family got the remote version of him. He only remembers the fast speed and then he's there. It's kind of exactly like that. I know that I'm going through time in a physical way, but I do not remember it that way. So I'll give you one. Like, I can tell the difference between a military abduction and an extraterrestrial abduction because of this thing that happened to me. So I remember, I'll keep this one short because it's a very long story, but I'll keep it short. In this specific occasion, right, I just remember being outside with my wife. Just like this whole thing that happened before that was kind of weird, but I'll spare you of all that. I got to the driveway with my wife and we're both just looking across the street. Like literally, I can see one house in front of me. It's like a cul-de-sac type deal. It's not really that serious. But you can see the skyline and all the stuff and be behind the houses or whatever. In the distance rising up, I can see this, it looks like a diamond, like a diamond golden light just going up. I was like, oh, wow, look, somebody else just wild out. They got the cops out here doing the spotlights again. It's almost like evening. So maybe it's a helicopter flying up in the distance, whatever. It starts moving closer to us, but it's mostly going up. And I'm like, damn, I should be hearing this thing by now. This is not a helicopter. Oh, I know what it is. It's one of those Chinese lanterns. Somebody must be having a wedding. They lit the thing and it's moving up slowly. That's what I'm seeing. It's one of look, babe, you're about to see a whole bunch of them come up in the horizon.
The China lanterns is an ongoing joke on this show. We always say, there wasn't China lanterns.
I didn't know. So there you go. It stops. So I'm like, okay, it can't be one of those China lanterns because they don't stop. They just keep going up. So I was like, okay, finally it hits me. Oh, crap, I'm looking at a UFO. So I'm getting excited, and I already know my connection at the time with these beings. So I'm just like a pig in slop. I instantly tell my wife I'm going to try to connect with this UFO. I close my eyes and I go, with peace, love, and light, with all the peace and love that I have in my heart, I just want to say thank you for showing yourself to me. I would love to connect with you right now, but I need to know that we're connected. So can you please just move to the right? As I say that in my mind, the ship moves to the right. And I'm like, oh, I get excited. I squeeze my wife's hand. She's like, ow, what happened? What happened? As I'm getting excited, this thing is flickering. It's getting brighter. It's getting dimmer. It's almost like it's connected to me. We're both getting excited together. So I want my wife to come in on this. So I tell out loud so she can hear me. Thank you so much for doing that. Thank you so much for connecting with me. But now I want my wife to share in this experience with us. Is it all right if you please just move to the left? And the minute I say the word left, sure enough, it moves to the left. Really nice. Now we're both getting excited. She's a little scared and freaked out about it, but we're both like, oh my God, it's actually happening. It's doing the flicker thing out of nowhere. Helicopter comes, flies over my house, beelines directly towards where the light is. I see a helicopter coming from the right. I see a helicopter coming from the left. Helicopter rising up from behind it. This thing is now surrounded by four to five helicopters. It's exactly like what you see in the movies, man. If you look and imagine a UFO in the sky and then imagine how the military would react to it, there's just a bunch of black helicopters surrounding this thing in a circular formation, and they're hovering facing it. And in the middle is this golden light, and it's dimming, getting bright, dimming. I can tell that the helicopters is stopping the connection that we're having. as I'm seeing this and I'm like, whoa, I'm watching an Independence Day happen right now. Like, this is crazy. Like, what is going on? Like, this is a movie right now is what I'm watching from my driveway. I look down the street and turning down the street is this black Durango. It instantly made me uneasy because I'm used to seeing, you know, tinted cars in Florida or whatever. A lot of people do their cars up, they put rims or whatever. But I never see limo tint on the windshield. Completely blacked out. Like, maybe the top part of the windshield is limo tinted, but you should be always able to see the driver. That's the one thing I locked on to. I'm looking down the hole. I just see this limo tinted windshield start slowly creeping up to my driveway. Now I'm getting nervous. I'm still trying to kind of like enjoy my UFO experience, looking down the street. It gets to two houses down from me and then it speeds up. So it's going slow, like 5 to 10 miles per hour until it gets two houses. And then it goes from like 5 to 20 miles per hour. Like, it just speeds up. As it passes my house where we're standing in the driveway, I see a flash of green light come out this car. It engulfed my whole vision. Like, for a split second, I can only see green in my eyes, and I know it came out the back seat specifically of this car because it came. The flash came from the back window. And I said, babe, you saw that shit? Because she was standing right next to me. She was like, yeah, I saw like a blue and red light. And I was like, no. It was a neon green, specific neon green light. The Durango passes us and it reverses into a house, like just like three houses down. It reverses into a driveway and I can just feel whoever's in that damn Durango is staring at us. So now I'm like looking at the UFO, looking at the Durango. My wife has said, I had enough. That's the Men in Black. I'm out of here. They're going to kidnap you. They're going to kill us. Yeah. Like, she already had like the hairs. What wasn't happening? She ran inside. I keep on looking at this thing. All of a sudden, the golden light disappears, and now there's just a circle formation of helicopters looking at each other. There's nothing in the middle. Just helicopter. And I'm just looking at the helicopters, looking at the Durango, and I'm like, all right, I had enough. I'm out of here. I'm going inside. I go inside. I tell my wife, yo, that's crazy, right? She was like, yep. We didn't talk about it at all after that. Right now, if we were to have the same experience, I tell you, we would be talking for 3.5 hours after it. How cool was it? What did you see? This is what I saw. For some reason that night, it was like, you saw that. It was cool, right? Yeah, it was cool. And then we sat down like nothing happened. We didn't even talk about it anymore that night. Like, it's an everyday occurrence. I look back on that now and I know that is weird. Don't know how they did that, but it's a real thing. It happened. So we watched Nacho Libre that night because it just came on Netflix. Me and my kids love that movie. So my kids are sleeping on the couch. My wife is on the recliner. I'm sitting on the love seat. We like to turn off all the lights and we like to like just watch movies on the big screen like it's a movie theater or whatever. So at the time, we had a Roku. And when the Roku goes quiet, it just bounces the time on the screen. So I can tell you it was 10:53. Around that time, it was nowhere close to the time I'm about to say. I could see 10:53 bouncing on the TV. Me and my wife are talking. We're about to, like, you know, go outside, smoke a cigarette or whatever. Before we do, she goes, be quiet real quick. Just be quiet. And I go, what? She was like, I think there's somebody trying to come in the door. And I was like, shut up. My back is to my front door. I'm in the living room, but I can see my front door from the living room. Sure enough, as we're quiet in the dark, I hear like somebody's jiggling at my doorknob. And I'm like, oh, I have a recording studio and it's in the front of the house. So I'm thinking maybe it's one of my homeboys. They're coming for a late night session. Some of my friends I've known for like 15 years. So they walk into my house sometimes if the door's open, like it's whatever. So Kramer style. So I'm thinking that's what it is. Maybe he went or... You know, they went for the doorknob. It wasn't open. I'm about to hear somebody hit the doorbell in a minute. Sure enough, I don't. Again. So I'm like, okay, now they're playing a prank on me. I'm still going to my friends. Like, automatically, it's one of my boys. They're playing a prank on me. My door has two windows on it and with a curtain on it. So my idea was, I'm just not going to turn on any lights. I'm going to creep as close as I can to the door without them seeing me. And then I'm going to open the curtain and scare whoever the hell's on the other side of that door to prank them, thinking they're going to prank me. So sure enough, I walk in the darkness towards the front door, still hearing the doorknob jiggle. There's a hallway that leads to my recording studio, another bedroom, and a bathroom right before I get to the front door. As I approach this hallway, I look to the right of the hallway because for some reason I just feel like I needed to look that way. And the brightest flash of white light I have ever seen. The only way I can explain it is it had to be the Men in Black neuralizer or whatever the frick. It's just like what you see in Men in Black. Flash of white light completely. And when I mean engulfs your eyes, like just put a piece of paper over your freaking eyes. And that's all I see was a flash of white light. Then all of a sudden I can hear like this high-pitched noise in my ear, like, ooh. And I feel my whole body feels like it's coming out of like when your arm goes to sleep, how it gets all prickly and like gets all numb and shit. Yeah. My whole body felt like that. When I open my eyes, I'm in my bedroom bathroom with my shirt off in the starfish formation on the cold tile. And I just remember going, oh shit, my kids. Like I still get goosebumps thinking about it. I instantly just thought of my kids. Like I just was like primal, like protect my children. Where are my children? Got up out of this mode. Ran through my bedroom because I was in my bedroom bathroom, ran out into the living room, and sure enough, my wife is in the love seat I was sitting in, but she's curled up in the most uncomfortable position, and she's passed out. Like, her mouth is almost kissing her knees. Like, she's so, like, nobody sleeps that way, but she's sleeping that way. My son, my oldest, is on the couch, but his whole body is underneath the blanket and his feet are where the pillow is. Almost like somebody put him down and tried to put him back the way he was supposed to be, but didn't know how humans lay down and put his feet on the pillow instead of his head. Whatever. And then my youngest son had a blanket and his bear underneath the kitchen table and he was asleep. And he never goes underneath the kitchen table because it's a glass table. We never let him play under there or do anything like that. So for him to be under the table in the kitchen, just sleeping with his thumb in his, like, he's out. It was the weirdest thing. I turn around to the TV because I want to know what time it is. And it's 2:58 in the morning. It's almost 3:00 in the morning. And I just remember it being 10:53. You couldn't tell me. I walked, like, literally 10:53. I walked to the door, blink. Yeah. And now I wake up on the floor, run out into the living room, and it's almost 3:00 in the morning. Literally, that's how much time was gone. I slap my wife on the leg to wake her up because I'm in, like, panic mode. I'm like, yo, wake up. She wakes up in, like, a daze. Like, huh? What? I was like, it's 3:00 in the morning. What happened to us? What's going on? She was like, I don't know. I just remember sitting in the love seat, telling you somebody was at the door. A flash of light came in my eyes, and then you're waking me up. Literally, that's all she told me. And that was, like, exactly what I remember, just a little bit more because I woke up before you. Whatever. That was, like, an abduction, whatever. So 2 days after that happened, I'm playing Call of Duty in my living room, maybe 11:30 a.m., and I can hear people walking in my backyard. And I didn't cut the grass at the time. So it's like a distinct, you're stepping on tall grass, bro. Like, it's Florida, tall grass. I can hear you. I look and there's these three, like, I'm 6'1", 230, man. I pride myself for being raised in some of the ugliest parts of New York and being able to be, like, not a guy you want to mess with at times, even though I'm all peace, love, and light these days, I still protect my family fiercely. I didn't want no parts of these guys. They were, like, 6'4", strong men. They looked like strong men. They're really big dudes. like just a bunch of Jack Reachers. Yep, that's what it looked like. And then somebody knocks on my front door, Melissa, which my wife, opens the front door, and it looks like the Terminator lady, like John, like the Terminator's mother, like the chick. Oh,
Linda. Sarah Connor.
Yeah. Yeah, Sarah Connor. It looks like she got the glasses, the hat, the she's all military now. Oh yeah, we lost a drone in your backyard, and we want to see if there's access. I'm looking at these dudes, and I'm like, yo, what y'all doing in my backyard? They all look at me and was like, yo, we lost some. You got like. They intimidated the hell out of me.
Yeah, go find it. Get it out of my yard.
It's your yard. You can have it. You want the house? You guys want some tea? Like, I got you. Want no problem with these guys. I'm thinking maybe they were covering up their tracks. If I've ever, like, when I was abducted by these beings, I've never, ever in my life felt any kind of, like it was a medical procedure being done on me. Like I didn't smell anesthesia in my nose. I didn't feel nothing in my lower back. But on this experience, I felt like this anesthesia thing in the, I call it anesthesia because I just went under from my patella tendon and they had to put me under to repair it because I tore my patella tendon. I pretty much tore my patella tendon. And I remember waking up from the anesthesia, specifically my lower back felt like woozy. So whatever chemical they give you to fall asleep, I guess it goes straight to the spine or whatever the case may be. Same thing when I woke up from this abduction experience, my lab experience with these. I think the government or some sort of program, some private organization saw that I was connected to this ship in some way. And they wanted to extract whatever information they believed to have been downloaded in my head. They probably don't know that I was just having fun and connected to this UFO as like a heart-based connection. Maybe they thought I got some information, how to build something like your boy or the end of the world prophecies. And they took me to a facility and they gave me some truth serum and I told them what I knew and they put me back home. I don't know. I can't tell you because I was under for 3.5 hours. I don't remember any of it, but that's my assumption.
Because we hear all the time from different experiencers and different stories that there are like not all extraterrestrial species that are coming to Earth are necessarily friendly and friendly towards us. And some of them are rivals to each other. So part of me wonders, like when I'm thinking in my head and I'm hearing that story and you're saying like it was a weird, different experience. Because it's not like you didn't forget that you had that experience. So part of me wonders that if you were like identified of like connecting with this thing, if they were like they marked you and now they have someone coming to see like why do they want what are they interested with him, right? Because they're want to know why they're connecting with you. Like what don't they know? And so they're trying to extract some information, maybe like not as. And maybe working with the government or some sort of agency in that sense, right? With a rival extraterrestrial group, or maybe it's even just reverse engineered. That's a lot. Like that's what comes to my head when I believe that.
They've had me pinned for years now, dude. Like they've known. So I was one of those kids that were taken out of class constantly to be taken to the library and be put headphones on. And they'll put weird sounds on the headphones and then show me images and then tell me to write down what I hear in the sounds or what I see on the images. I tell that to people now and they'd be like, dude, that doesn't happen to everybody in elementary school. Like, they don't just randomly take people out of their classes. So I believe I've been put in like a Stargate program or like they got me pinned as a psychic in some way, shape or form. My remote viewing is ridiculous. I can remote view super easy. I could turn off streetlights at will. Like when I see streetlights and I'm walking down the street, I can literally focus my energy and turn them off, turn them on. Like things like that. That comes with something that these beings did for me to be able to communicate with them and for me to be able to have an easier time with them. They have to train me in a way to use certain part of my brain that everybody has and everybody can use, but they don't work the muscle. I guess I've been trained for a long time how to work that muscle so I can do the job that I'm doing right now. I honestly believe they taught me how to fly a UFO ship, because if something happens as a cataclysm on Earth and I all of a sudden understand where the coordinates of a ship is and I know how to fly it, it's more likely that humans would get on a ship that I'm piloting instead of getting on a ship that a gray is piloting. So I think that they choose humans for certain jobs like that. I also believe that because I'm highly telepathic, I'm super suggestible to be able to speak to them. So I'm able to like sense energy. I know when they're around, they don't have to be uncamouflaged. It took me a while to deal with them. So I've been exposed to them for so long, so much now, to where if I were to see a gray in my room, I'll still be in shock, but I can communicate with it. If you were to see a gray in your room without seeing them for the first time, I don't care who you are, you're going to paralyze. It happens all the time. It's this fear that runs through your body that makes you shake. And then when they start moving towards you, you get even more fearful because they don't walk. I don't know if anybody told you that. These beings don't walk, they glide. So when a gray walk towards you, it's like they're floating towards you. They don't have no physical walking motion. So when you see something doing that towards you, you're going to freak out. It's not what you're used to seeing as human. They've slowly throughout time have kind of like acclimated me to be able to deal with those kind of high strangeness. I'll give you another scenario. If you've gone to a summer camp, do your parents pay to get you to go to summer camp, or do you get paid to be in a summer camp?
Well, they paid.
Yeah, okay. So yeah. I was one of the few people that my parents got paid for me to go to a science camp. And what I would do, so in Puerto Rico, there used to be the biggest satellite in the world was in Arecibo, Puerto Rico. It was called the Arecibo satellite. I think it was the one that caught the WOW signal.
It's a radio telescope, yeah.
Yeah, it's a radio telescope. Mm-hmm. So I lived very close to that telescope when I was in Puerto Rico with my family. I didn't live there for long, but we would go there for the summers. We had a house there. So when I went there, I remember distinctly two people coming to my house, paying my mother $2,000 in change, and me leaving with these people. And I would go to that Arecibo telescope thing. They would bring me in through the back. There was like a gate, said no trespassing. Bring me in through the back. And they would sit me in a triangle with other children in this way where the satellite was, like in a building next to the satellite. And they would ask us questions like, what do you feel? What do you hear? What do you... And we would write it down. We would... It's like they always had us in threes or fours, and we all had different jobs. One of us was writing. One of us was interpreting. One of us was signaling. One of us was listening. And we were all children. Like, none of us was older than 12, 13. It was just freaking kids. To us, they made it look like games. It wasn't like... It was always like, you guys hungry? You want to eat something? Cool. Come into this room. Sit Indian style. Tell me what you feel. Like, it was never like, you're a secret spy and you're doing this for a specific reason. I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
I wonder if you were even in like caught, because like at that point, you know, if you were even part of some sort of interesting like CIA, because the CIA had so many remote viewing programs. So it's like maybe they were just maybe you were fortunate enough to be at the time in a place where they were like, yeah, we're going to pose this as a camp and we're going to coach these kids into what we want them to do without telling them that we're going to try to connect you to other things and just get you to do these things. And they're just taking all the results, right? Like that. And then the ones they wean out, the ones that aren't getting the results they want, and they put others together, right?
100%. That's what I believe it was. I believe that I showed potential in a program in elementary school, and they worked with that potential throughout my schooling. And then I came to that summer camp in Puerto Rico, and then they found out from there that I was able to communicate with these beings. Once I was able to communicate with these beings never stopped communicating with me. That's pretty much what it is. And even now, like, I will go through months where I don't connect with anything. Like, if I'm not eating right, if I'm really in a low state, like, the one thing you have to remember if you want to communicate with these beings is how hard it is for them to come down to our physical kind of vibration to talk to us. It's a lot easier if you raise your vibration to talk to them. What does that mean? Your diet has to be right. You can't be negative. Like, if you, I mean, to them, if you're in a sad state and you're saying hello, they hear it as hello. If you're angry and you're saying hello, they're like, yo, hello, what's up? Like, they hear it however you feel it. So if they don't want to be around you when you're scared of them, they won't show up. If they don't want to be around you because you're in a bad space. These past couple of months, I've been dealing with, like, deaths, like my fam, like, people died in my immediate circle, been kind of feeling low, kind of like wondering what I want to do as far as the next couple of years and the movement that I'm doing. So I've kind of been in this state of, like, not really in the most positive mind state. So the connection I've had with these beings has been little to none. But if I were to meditate, let's say, for, like, 4 or 5 days, go out for more walks, eat more salads instead of more junk food, and then every day kind of like, okay, I'm ready to connect, B, I would love to, like, see you again. By, like, day 4, day 5, I'm back into the mix of things. They're showing up again, doing flyovers. It has a lot to do with your energy and your vibration for you to connect. So, like, have you guys heard of, like, CE5s, like Stephen Greer and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the easiest way for you to do that. I tell everybody to start there because it works every time. The easiest way for you to do that is positive intention. Number one, don't treat it like you're trying to get a dog to do a trick. Treat it more like, I want this connection for me and you so that way I know deeply that we're connected. They usually respond to that feeling a lot faster. Imagination. A childlike imagination is the only way to communicate with these beings properly. You have to be able to imagine that you're a spotlight and your head is opening up and the brightest light in the world is coming out of your head and shooting into the universe. Believe it or not, these ships, a lot of these ships are thought-based. A lot of these ships are energetic. They see those imagination lights, like those lights that you're imagining in your head that you think nobody sees. These ships are picking up on those spotlights, and that's what they're attracted to. The feeling of love and connection that you have in these CE5 groups with the people that you're doing them with, that's what they're connected to. The one person in a group that is scared and doesn't want to see these beings will be the one person that guarantees nobody sees it. Because some of these beings are so nice. And notice how I say some. There's some people that are of the belief that they're all positive. I'm not of that belief because I believe that they're close to humans and humans are not all positive. So I believe that there are negatives and there are positives. But if you want to connect with the right beings, you have to be in the right state of mind. So that's where I'm at. Childlike imagination and positive intention will get you connected with these beings, no problem.
The one other question before we let you go here, is you mentioned something that just kind of struck me as odd. It's when you kind of describe that these two talls walking you and your son and they're holding your hands. Like, to me, like, the hand holding is such an intimate thing. Are these the same beings that visit you constantly throughout your life? Like, do you are they different ones? Are they the same ones?
Never seen them again. So the one memory I've had with them would be the only memory I've had with them. I think they were walking me down the hallway hand to hand.
Yeah.
Escorting purposing. I mean, that's the first time that somebody brought it up that way. So it's definitely something to think about. I'm definitely not going to take that off the plate. That makes a lot of sense. Well, especially since it was attached to, like, the DNA, you know, it was attached to the DNA part of things. So it could be maybe ancestry type deal.
Right. It's so weird of, like, a familiarity, because, like, we've talked on this show about if these things don't experience time like us, there's people who have lifelong encounters at different stages in their life that maybe it's a 15-minute window for these beings that are just jumping through time to come and meet you. So it's
I believe death is that way.
If these things have come and visit you your whole life and then they see you as an old, like, they've seen you as a child, they've seen you as a man, like, to me, then the hand holding kind of makes sense to me, because I'm like, there's a familiarity that comes with you, like, you don't really hold hands with a stranger.
I got you. You know, that's the first time that was told to me. That makes so much sense. I would go with the familiarity. Yeah, there was definitely something about these beings, although they look weird and they're totally tall, I mean, the amount of care. And that's the one thing that I always have to say, like, although they're kind of, like, the one thing that everybody always says always makes me like a little like, whatever, dude, like, they can't be all good if they're putting you under some sort of control and they're taking you out your room out of will. Okay, I get that. It's kind of like an abduction. I get it. I don't call it an abduction. I call it an experience because I believe I signed up to do these things. But what people got to try to understand is that these beings are frail. They're very, like, frail, man. Like, you could get startled by accident, move your hand out of fear, and, like, break arms, necks, skulls. Like, they don't have strong bones. So it's like, why would they have these gorillas, these human apes walking around them without some side of control? I mean, not all of us are going to want to hug them. Even me, I've seen them. I mean, just think about it. I've had a big praying mantis being manifest in physical form in my room. And the specific instructions for this being was, do not look at me. Look into the corner. Because if you physically look at me with your human eyes and see this big insect in your room, you're going to have a heart attack and die. You're going to die, dude. You're going to die. There's no way you're going to look at me and go, oh, my God, this is wonderful. Hug me. Like, you're going to die. So I think they're very aware of that. And they're like, okay, you're going to get startled easy. This is not what you normally go through. We're going to put you under this control. We're going to put you under, but that's more for our safety and for you. Maybe there's something sharp you shouldn't be touching. Maybe there's something that has a pathogen on it that if you wipe your hand on it, they can't save you. It is what it is. Now you got it infected. So maybe the control is more for their protection and ours. It definitely doesn't feel like we're moving you through like cattle. It really doesn't feel that way for me anyway. I've been fortunate enough to feel very loved, cared for, and really taken care of by these beings. I've never felt in any way like I was going to be abandoned. I was going to be, you know, sodomized. I was going to be taken advantage of. Like, none of that ever crossed my mind. I mean, I would literally hand my child to them and be like, go ahead, do what y'all got to do, because they never hurt any of my kids. My kids don't even remember none of the stuff I talk about. Like, I tell them all the times, if you have any dreams, let me know. Have any memories, let me know. But I never imprint nothing in their brain because I don't want to, like, feed them anything that they're not built for. So it's like, when you're ready to talk, whatever you're going through, talk to me, but I'm not going to tell you what you're going through. So, yeah, man.
Now, where can everyone find their stuff?
All right. Yeah. So if you want to find me, you could just search me as Skits the PLK. So that's Skits the P.L.K. Prophet Lucid King. And that's on any streaming network for my music. Just search that up on Google. You'll get all of my songs, all my music, all the things I've been on. And then if you want to personally come check out some of my stuff, you could go to schizomusic.com. Sign up for, subscribe to that page, and anything I'm going on with always goes there first. You get all the news about what I got going. I'm always dropping new music. And if you want to just contact me in any way, just find me on any of my social media networks. I literally respond to everybody and I talk to everybody about anything. So I'm not hard to get a hold of. I'm always down to connect. So, nice, yeah, man.
And check out the documentary Calling All Hybrids on Amazon Prime if you're interested.
Please do it. We're going to get it out to Canada for sure.
Yeah, we're going to bypass those tariffs, get it up here.
Hell yeah, and, man. That's not what we're about.
he's got tons of other interviews too. So if you like this one, you want to hear more stories, he's got tons of other stories on various other podcasts you can find. Just search,
to be honest, one of the best podcasts I've been on with some of the best questions. So I got to say top five for sure. So I'll give you respect on that.
We're fucking professionals over here.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Hell yeah, bro.
All right. We're going to wrap this one up. As we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies. We'll see you next week.
a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.